This meeting is now being recorded.
Dear brothers and sisters, the Master speaking to scriptures tell us that absolute God cannot be seen by anybody. The worldless or the nameless, when it came into expression, that is called world or nam, or karma, or shabd, who is the maker of all creation, that can be seen and heard. When God, absolute God, came into expression, there was vibration. The vibration results in two things, light and sound. So two aspects of God, light and seen, and vibration can be seen and heard. And then God in expression is the maker of all creation, controlling all creation and permeating all creation. All masters define God into expression, power as light and sound. Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light on my path." Guru Nanak also says the same thing. When you come into contact with God into expression power, you see light comparing to thousands of lights. And also the scripture tells us when you want to even to imagine there was light, that day and night is the cause of all creation. Masters, when they come, they are conscious of God at the very beginning, in their childhood. They have got their backgrounds, or they are sometimes sent by God guide the child's humanity. Guru Nanak, when he was a child, 5 years old, he was sent to the school for learning. And when he went to the teacher, he began to teach him 1, 2, like that. Then he abrupted him and said, "Look here, what do you mean by 1? He said, "Well, go on reading what I teach you." He said, no, let me know. What do you mean by 1? Have you understood 1? What is 1? Then he told him, "Look here, that means there is one God, who is the creator of all creation. He is eternal, never falls away. He is the paramount head. Then nobody is controlling him. He has got no equal. That is why he has got no enmity with anybody. He has no fear of anybody because he himself is all in all. Though it appears to be timeless one, but he has some existence though. But he has come out of his own self. Nobody is creator of him. Then see, how can you find him? It is gift of God. Gift of Master, Guru. What is Master? He is world made flesh. The world is made flesh alone cannot contact with the God, into special power. When we said, "Is he one?" So no, one stands for that something behind it. It is not one. Why we speak of him as one? Because we are finite. And we have to speak about him in finite terms. that one which stands for success in something, that is the power which came to expression, that is called the whole creation. So, Master gave us a contact with that power, into expression, which leads into the world state. Kabir said, well, if I tell him he is one, then the question of two comes up. He is neither one nor two, he is something, which we express by the word one or two. And Guru Arjan explained him, because we are finite, we can only speak of him in finite terms only. He is something beyond, inconceivable, that worldless state. When he came to being, into existence, he wanted one wish to be many. So that power which came into expression is called word, naam, shabda, or karma. That power which came into expression, that you can see, of course. The two aspects of which is like this. With what eyes you can see. So you find absolute God is wordless or nameless, and when you want it to be many, he manifested. This primal manifestation of God is called word or naam, which is the cause of all creation. So all masters speak of him as such. In the beginning was the word. Word was with God, and word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So this is, word is God, God into expression power. When manifested, there is vibration, which resulted in light and sound. So this is the maker of all creation, controller of all creation, and permeating all creation. So there are hundreds and thousands of names given to that power. As I submitted, God absolute, wordless, nameless. Nobody seen God at any time, the wordless God, that came into expression, which is the cause of all creation, that we can see and hear. Not with the eyes of flesh and bones and the physical ears. Those eyes are different. So sages have given thousands of names to of God. Some call him as Lord, Swami. Some call it as Nirala, means fearless. Some call it as Anam, nameless one, no name. So, some call it Satpurush, eternal. So there are many qualitative names, also names also. But these are the names which express that power into expression, which is the cause of all creation. So out of that, the nine gurus of the sixth says there are so many hundreds of thousands of names. We say we come in contact with naam, then we get salvation. Which is that naam? Which is that word? Is it that word W-R-D? R-N-A-M-E? No. This is the word which expresses that power, God into expression power. So from the words, there are hundreds and thousands of names. We say, which is that word, that naam, by coming in contact with, we can have salvation. So, ninth guru says, what is that name, remembrance of which leads to nirvana. Again it says, what is that name, the repetition whereof enables us, person, to cross over the world of sorrow. So these are not the words. These words denote something. Unless you come in contact with that, we cannot have salvation. When you see, we come in contact, we say that is the maker of creation, he is the reverent in all creation, he is the controller of creation, the two aspects of it, the light and sound. So when you see, you open the inner eye to see the light of God, and open the inner ears to see this, hear the voice of God, that is coming in contact with now, which gives you salvation. Because you see, that is the power work we are not. In that case, our ego is lost. Until then, we make with hundreds and thousands of names. In that case, we are the doer. So long as we are the doer, as is so, so shall we live. For good deeds, good actions, good results, bad actions, bad results. So Master says, come in contact with God into special power, the demonstration of which can be given by one whose word made flesh. God alone can give you contact with God, you see. God is right in every heart. But where there is manifest, that manifest is God in him, can give you contact with him. Who we are, we are called soul. Outward expression of the soul is called attention. Now, when our attention, which is now identified with the world outside, with the body, outward faculty, the world outside, so much so that we have forgotten ourselves, we cannot differentiate ourselves. So what the masters do, they withdraw our attention from all outside and from the body below, bring it to the seat of soul, which is at the back of the eyes. There we see, we are soul. So we are of the same essence as that of God. So light knows the light. So that is the God into expression power, contacting with which it is possible only when world made flesh, with your demonstration of that. So a contact, Guru Arjan says, a contact with Nam makes oneself luminous. With luminosity varying with hundreds, thousands of suns. So we are the drop of the ocean of all attention, we are the drop of the ocean of all consciousness, we are the drop of the ocean of all light, we are all children of light. And this light is encompassed, covered by so many sheets, physical, astral, causal. On the face of it appears there is no light. Take this lamp, that is burning, that is one cover, two, three, four. Out of it appears there is no light there. When you take off one cover, you see some light. When you take off the other cover, there is more light. When you take off all covers, full light. So God is all light. So when you come in contact with it, you become luminous, self-luminous. So by thy grace, O Guru, O Master, open our inner eyes to see the light of God. It is not the subject of the outer eyes, physical eyes, no. Guru Nanak was asked, what is that has seen that light of God? With what eyes you have seen? He says, those eyes are different. Not on the eyes of flesh and bone. So Kabir also referred to the same thing that Nanak Guru said. There are myriads of names in the world, names given to God, but none of them grant salvation. The primal Naam is a hidden one, and a rare soul can know and realize it. Take the example of world I have told you. For instance, there is water. That is liquid. In all languages, so many names have been given to express that liquid. Called it water. In Latin, it is called aqua. In French, it is called eau. In Hindi, it is called jal, nir. You see? Ab. So these are the words denote that liquid by drinking which your thirst can be satisfied. Not by repeating the name of your water or aqua like that. You follow my point? So what is that now? By coming in contact with, you can have salvation. When you come in contact with the light and sound principle, it leads you where? From where it emanated, to the absolute God. No hypothesis, direct way back to God. As far as the world, God is permeating the music of the spheres. You go on only saying, God is liberating all creation, is liberating all creation, and under you see not really liberating them. So it is just like what you say, a blind man saying God is light. So devotion now is only to worship, to this way, you see. That is to worship. What we do, now we keep symbols of light outside. We ring the bell, we light the candles. This is only model. Real first worship is to see the light, the single light within you. And hear the music of the spheres. Then say, you are waiting in all creation. So that is the true worship. Other worships are done at the level of senses. They are good action, of course. That will give you good results. But as you are the doer, you have to sometimes good results, sometimes bad. You will come and go. When you see that power is pervading all creation, within and without, you are not the doer, that power is the doer, then you lose your ego. Your coming and going end. So everyone, Ramadas, spent 70 long years in such a God. When he came to the feet of Guru Angad, the second Guru in the line of Guru Nanak, he said, everyone does worship, but on the sensual plane. Only as such, they get no result. So he been engaged in practices, reading, writing, chanting, outward expression methods, what they are. They all relate to the outgoing faculty or intellect. So they are praying God at the level of the senses. God is spirit, we must worship him in spirit, is it not? That is true worship. Now you will understand what is the true worship. What we are doing outside, these are only models made of the expressions of God. They are good actions, no doubt. But in that case, you do not lose your ego. You will have to come and go. But absorption in the Naam purifies the mind and bears fruit in abundance. You see, our soul is of the same essence as that of God. God is light, we are also light, children of light. God is all consciousness, we are also conscious entities. When our conscious entity, we know ourselves, we shake off all these outer coverings of mind and matter, we begin to seem ultimately absorbed. This absorption, the more you come in contact with God into certain power, all your sins are washed away. Why? Because you lose your ego. There is nobody to bear the reaping of the seed that we have sown. So, Naam, our word, is the great controlling power, you see, which controls all creation. That is the power. By the word of Lord, where the heavens made, and all the host of them, he spake and it was done. Kun fiyukun. All was there and whole thing came to me. With one thought of it. One ray of the sun. Word made flesh is a ray. And sun is sun. You see? But that's the way back to sun. That's why I said nobody can see you have done that to me. Ray cannot see you to sun. So that is why, you see, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. This word power came out of the mouth of God. So Master said, there is God, who is the maker of all creation, universe, who is the controller of our universe and permeating all things. What is all this? Is all manifestation of God. When we begin to see our own self, when our inner eye is opened. And who can open our inner eye? Some word made flesh. Who can light a candle? A candle is already lit. So, scientists first gave out this word of the action and reaction of matter. Ultimately, they have come out to say that this power is controlled by a power, this whole creation which is conscious. We are not going to believe there is one power which is created, all these things. So the world is all in manifestation before us. There is no place where it is not. Why can't we see him? The question arises. He is subtlest of the subtlest. If you see through a microscope, what you find? In the air it now appears to be nothing. When you see through a microscope, that magnifies anything 700 times more. If you see it through, then you find that all this atmosphere is full of insects, microbes. Now, what happens to me? If one eye comes to that level, on that is magnified, on that magnified to come to our level of eye, we will be able to see. So this eyes of flesh and bone cannot see. When you rise above physical body, you begin to see. If man, in man body only we can know God, it is a golden opportunity in which we can know God. In no other body. So she says, while God is with us in the body, we see him not. He says, fight on a lifeless life like that, or to see every man in top blind. In man body, there is the highest aim before us, what to know God. And also what? Whatever seeds we have sown, karmic, that are to be paid out. How? By coming in contact with him, seeing that he is the doer, I am not the doer. If that is so, who is to bear the reaping of the seeds we have already sown? Nobody. So Kabir says, the entire world is groping in darkness. If it were a question of one or two, they could be set right. He says, I see all around, all are bright. The word blind in the terminology of the saints means not that man who has got no eyes on the forehead, but to the inner single eye not open to see the light of. How that is opened by the world-made flesh masters? They just withdraw our attention from all outside and from the body below, take it to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes. When it is there, the single eye is open. You begin to see the light. Before going to such a master, we are blind in the terminology of the saints. We are deaf. But when he gives us a sitting to withdraw our attention from all outside, we begin to see and begin to hear. So there are two kinds of worship. One is worship done at the level of senses. they are all called exalted, all called apara, which are done at the level of the outgoing faculty, mind or intellect. They are good actions, but that will give you good results, because they are done in the name of God. But you are didua, so you will have to reap what you have sown. Coming and going is not ended. When your inner eyes open, you see He is the power, He is the creator, He is the permeating all creation. He is controlling us in the body. We are not the doer. Then our ego is lost. We, who will bear the, reap the fruits that have, seeds that we have sown? Nobody. So that ends coming and going. So Guru Nanak said to the enlightened one, all are purblind. In that sense, you know, we are all blind. Very sweeping remark, it is of course. Why is it not? What Christ says, I have come to make those people see who do not see. What does he mean by that? And those who see, they may be blind. It's the same thing. We see, I am looking at you, because my attention is there. If my attention is down from there, nobody would not see. On the back, I cannot see. So it is the soul that has to know the oversoul. The eyes of flesh and bone see him not, but the Master illumines the eye within. Open that eye. A worthy disciple begins to witness the power and glory of God within himself. That is function of the Master. Give you something to start. And how? By withdrawing your attention from all outside, bringing it to the level of the eyes, where that symbolizes our third eye, our latent eyes open. Now reason of here, why can't we see him? Because enveloped in darkness, we strive for God by this not that dark. Without a Master, none has found the way, nor one can do it. The reason why? Because our whole attention identified with outgoing faculties and mind, world, body and world. Unless that will be drawn from there, then the eyes, inner eyes open, then we see that we come to this, that level. As I gave you the example of microscope, we become subtle, we begin to see the subtle form. That is why, unless when one comes across a perfect Master, he begins to see and begins to hear. So this is sad, when man came to the world, God put seals on his eyes and on his ears. And when we are out of his children, when we are in an unhappy state, he sends men, which are made flesh, world-made flesh. They come to open the seals from the eyes and from the ears. They begin to hear, begin to see and begin to hear. So they open the eye where? Within the closet of the man body. But we draw your attention from outside and from the body below also. So body is verily the temple of God. And the Holy Ghost dwells in it. That is why Emerson said, tapping inside and going into the foxhole in the brain. We once see his remark by President Truman. It was into his foxhole that he appeared whenever he wanted peace and relaxation on the high offices. That is receding within you. And they are complete. Their soul is revived with higher content. So Veda are called as a Brahmarudra. Fox of the hole in the brain are Brahmarudra. Perception, intention, and reasoning just help to understand the reality to a certain extent. Understanding, not seeing. at the level of intellect, but seeing is believing. Seeing with one's own eyes, the single eye of this intellect and ingress, is little known to the people at all. That eye is within us. That is called by the rishis as the third eye, as the Shiva Netra, at the Divki Cube, and Christ separate as single eye. Mohammed Nuklal called it Chashma Batak, inner eye. You follow? Truth is one. Those who have realized it, they gave out the same thing in the East or the West. That makes no difference. So we'll have to revert to the third eye, latent eye, shivnet, the single eye. That's how we can see. God said there be light and there was light. You read in Genesis? And this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And the light is the life of man. Amongst Hindus there is custom when a man going to die, they light a candle put on the palm of the hand. And the mantra that is read, that is in Sanskrit, that means this light will guide you here and hereafter. The hand and the candle both remain, which is that light which is within you. That can be seen when your attention will draw from all outside and your inner eyes open. So all scriptures describe rays of light vibrating with the music of life emanating from the formless absolute existence. When you came to manage the world in its variegated colors and countless shapes. So this pervades all four grand religions of the world. Kabir says, I went to the pilgrimage to Mecca. On the way, God met me and began to fight with me, rebuked me. Who told you I'm here? I'm in you. You see, I'm the very life of your life. So the point lies in the master's off. Have you seen God? Guru Nanak says, yes, I've seen him. It manifests everywhere. It does not give any reason, because he sees and make us see. Christ was out. He said, behold the Lord. He never gave any reason for that. If we are not trying to let you know from the level of intellect, Kabir said, I was in doubt when I saw him within, now I'm fully confident he is. So Master, when they come, you see, they are, the message that they bring is that there is God. They have seen. And you can also see with your guidance. But whose God is? The God in him, is the word made said. God alone can afford you contact with God. Nobody else. So we respect that man body, you see, which is manifest and can do us that grace. So Guru Nanak was asked, what eyes you have seen? He said, those eyes are different with which he can see, not the eyes of flesh or bone. Mohammed Prasad said, that is the inner eye. So outer expressions of God into expression in light and sound. We can see him with the single eye, with the Divki Cube, with the Shiva Netra, third eye. Samastha Ved. He said, what is this? He said, we should be able to see God with our own eyes. How can we convince that there is God if we don't see our own self? We should be able to hear his voice with our own ears. Then how that eye and ear is open? He says, close your eyes, you see darkness. Just penetrate into the darkness, and you'll find that.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. The recording was from November 17, 1972, San Jose. Today, our reader is David Halliburton. Hey there, David.
Yes, I am.
OK. reading from a series of questions and answers that were printed in Spiritual Elixir, and then they were reprinted in the 1968 edition of Sat Sandesh, and therefore from several different question-answer sessions. So some of the questions seem similar, but Master's answers are always good. Question. Jesus gave to Peter, according to the scriptures, the keys of the kingdom of God. Some teachers say these keys are love, wisdom, understanding, compassion, sympathy, and discernment. Is it not possible that the real keys are the five charged names? Master says, all of these virtues are the means to the end of spiritual perfection. The holy contacts with the holy Nam in its various aspects are the keys of the kingdom of God, given to the disciple to awaken his self-consciousness, cosmic and super-cosmic consciousness. All of these divine virtues follow of themselves by coming into contact with the light and sound principles, without your asking. The sun of spirituality, when it shines high, shows everything in clear form. Righteousness follows as a matter of course. Dharma, when established, does not leave any place for ifs and buts. You are not to exert or pose, but live in the actual sense. Question. I have always wanted to reincarnate to help humanity in some essential way, biochemistry, organic gardening, or health measures, or the protection of trees or natural resources. Now we are taught to get off the wheel of rebirth, but I feel so inadequate and unprepared. Master says, the highest aim of a man's life is to know one's self and to know God. If once we have attained that, our purpose is served. The divine phenomena which determine the future birth of the initiates are left to the master power, in whom we should repose all our hopes. Your kind sentiments for helping humanity in the various fields of your activity will bless you with an awakened outlook, which, in turn, should grant you an impetus to work more zealously, selflessly, and in a spirit of dedication. It is for the master power to see how he can make the best use of you. A master saint enjoins that the dear initiate should lead such a disciplined life that he or she should retire every night by disposing of all work assigned to his or her care, and repose all hopes and aspirations in the gracious master power working overhead. Such a sacred schedule will endow you with a stillness of mind and be immensely helpful for spiritual progress. The next question. According to page 34 of the publication entitled My Submission, there's a statement made, Surat Shabd Yoga is easy. I feel it is quite difficult to keep the attention completely on Shabd, and others have the same trouble. Is there some method by which this difficulty can be overcome? Master says, when we say that the Surat Shabd Yoga is easy, we are using the words relatively. It is easier when compared with other forms of yoga, karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga, raj yoga, hatha yoga, or the traditional ashtang yoga, all of which call for stern and severe outer disciplines, which a common busy man in the workaday world of today has neither the patience, nor the time, nor the strength, nor the leisure to do with all his wits about him.
Surat Shabd Yoga, on the other hand, can easily be practiced by everyone, man or woman, young or old, with equal ease and facility. It is because of its naturalness and simplicity that it is often termed Sahaj Yoga. With a direct, immediate experience of inner perception and audition given by a competent master, one can, with loving devotion, steadily proceed along the path under the guidance, both without and within, of the master power that works like an unfailing friend and an unerring guide on the spiritual path. Question. Does the disciple see God in his meditation? Master says, nobody can ever see God absolute. The God into expression power, called word or nam, manifests in the form of the light and sound principle, which can be seen and heard with the inner eye and inner ear, with the help and grace of a competent master. God has a twofold function, one, that of Kal, and the other, that of Dayal. The Mohammedans designate these functions by the words Shaitan and Raman, while the Zoroastrians use the respective terms Aharman and Harmuzd. These may be called the negative and positive powers, both being aspects of the one great and undivided God. The negative power, Kal, Shaitan, Aharman, represents the power that is going into expression, bringing all creation into being. And the positive power, Dayal, Rahman, Harmuzd, represents the power of inversion, bringing the soul back to its source. These, then, are the centrifugal and centripetal powers working in all creation. Mind is an agent of the negative power and always brings one into the outer world. On the other hand, the contact with the divine word within leads the soul back to God, to the wordless and absolute state. Though mind is activated by the soul, yet the mind has come to dominate the soul. Again, mind is further controlled by the senses or the outside faculties, which in turn drag us into the field of sensual pleasures, born of our attachments to sense objects without. The master tells us how to withdraw the soul current by means of concentration at the center of our being, and grants us contact with the divine word which is within, and which is the way to God. The negative power keeps in its control the creation in expression or manifestation. But once the soul comes in contact with the divine word, it is liberated from the bondage of mind and matter with the help and grace of the master, and is freed from the grip of the negative power. Question. Does God move us around like chess pieces on a board, or do we, with our free will, move ourselves? Master. It is our past karmic evolution which moves us around under His divine will. We are bound within certain limits on account of our past karma, and free within certain limits. We can make the best use of our free karmas to change our course, to proceed on our spiritual way. For an exhaustive explanation, please refer to the book, The Wheel of Life. Question. If one sends loving thoughts and prayers for the loved ones who have passed on, do the prayers reach and benefit the ones who have gone from this world, And will they know that they are loved and remembered? Master, before understanding the correct answer to this question, it should be borne in mind carefully that unions and separations in this physical world are governed by the inexorable law of karma. Those who have passed on have severed all connections with this physical plane and have been granted protection in accordance with their earnings. The prayers and the loving thoughts sent out by advanced souls do help the departed souls, and they are cognizant of the same. It may furthermore be understood that the near and dear relations of the sincere initiates are granted feasible protection in the beyond, even if the relatives had left much earlier before the disciples took initiation. Question: is initiation predestined or preordained? Master: yes, it is predestined and preordained in the framework of the divine plan that certain souls are to be accepted and initiated by each master during his ministry. And many a time it so happens that those who are ostensibly unworthy are accepted. Question: when a soul has made its seat in the eye focus, is it not the master who is seated at the eye focus? Master says, no. When the soul is completely withdrawn to the eye focus, then contact with the holy Shabd can be had. The soul and the Shabd Dun are of the same divine essence. The radiant form of the master manifests at times to assure the initiate that he is with him or her. Question: why is initiation considered very necessary for inner spiritual progress? Master: do we not need a teacher for learning all of the empirical sciences, engineering, medicine, technology, industry, and agriculture? The science spiritual is a highly abstruse subject, dealing with the world beyond. The sense organs, the senses, the mind, and the intellect do not and cannot cognize it, for all of these limiting adjuncts fail to measure and grasp the limitless. In the world beyond, the soul is to be disenfranchised of all that is personal and has to cast off the mask of terrestrial personality or persona and become a pure soul before it can experience the truth, which has no form or shape. This science is more of a practical subject than anything else, and for this, one has to pass through a process of self-analysis and self-transcendence by a gradual inversion and withdrawal of the sensory currents from the body. In order to understand completely and to practice successfully a supersensory subject, unwritten and unspoken, one has a necessity to seek the aid of an adept, a murshid-i-kamil, or master soul, fully conversant with both the theory and the practice of paravidya, and competent enough to disengage the human soul from the human frame, and to transhumanize the human in man, and lead him to the mount of transfiguration, to see the reality face to face. Again, the inner spiritual planes are so bewitching, bewildering, and so vast and full of diverse temptations that one cannot, without the active aid of a master, traverse them. Question: on several occasions I have fallen asleep and have been shaken out of it by a tremendous, high-pitched roar on the right side and flashes of light. I could not move my body. What is this? Master, the sensory currents from the body below are withdrawn up to the eye focus with the aid of Holy Nam. The slackening of the inner gaze at the eye focus results in sleep, as you experience. During this period, the surat, or attention, slips down to the gullet ganglion, or chakra, instead of ascending within. The divine revelations of holy light and sound current awaken you, and you feel the numbness and stiffness of the body below. Question. What is God, and how can we know Him? Master. God, as all the scriptures and the saints have said, is nameless and unknowable. Then, how can we know God? The answer is that the Absolute is not knowable, yet makes Himself known by manifesting Himself as light and sound principle. Most religions tell us that the creation began from these primal manifestations. Now, the divine light and the divine sound, or word, may be contacted by rising above the physical body consciousness. They exist in a latent form in all of us. Our goal must therefore be to contact them and develop them within us. To do this, we learn through meditation to withdraw our soul to its seat behind and between the eyes. Having once contacted the inner light and sound, we can progress towards their source, passing from plane to plane until we reach God. Question. Is artistic talent, as some people say, a God-given gift which is meant to be used in this life? Or is it something which one has worked at and developed in a past life and must now be put behind one when entering this spiritual path? Master, all talents inherited as a result of past karma are good, provided they are utilized for the attainment of spiritual progress by regular meditations. Everybody comes to this world with certain instincts and impulses, which can be harnessed for spiritual development under competent guidance. It is the single-minded devotion of the initiate which should be developed carefully and should be considered as the best of godly gifts. Question. Can a sinner like myself attain to Godhead in this very lifetime? Master. Yes, you can attain Godhead during this lifetime, provided you work for it strictly, according to the behests of the Master. Let His words abide in you, and you abide in Him. You have been granted the sacred boon of the holy initiation, which is a valid visa on to Sach Khand, and it is your earnest efforts and steadfastness which will bless you with the fruition of your wish in due course. That was another question-answer session. Someone else asks, what is God? Can you give a simple answer that we can understand? Master. God is absolute. Nobody can ever know Him. When God comes into action, He creates all beings, sentient or insentient, and controls them. Our physical bodies work so long as we are in the body, but we cannot run away out of it through the eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, etc. That God in action power is called Word, or Nam, or Kalma, etc. It controls our souls in the body. When that power is withdrawn, our souls leave the body. Breathing goes out of the body, but it cannot remain outside. Some power pushes it back into the body. That God in action power controls the whole of the creation. That is called God. God is the supreme law working in all creation, seen or unseen. He cannot be seen or heard in his absolute form. But when he came into expression, he manifested in the form of Nam, or Word, the divine light and holy sound principle. The lowest links of this divine principle are available in the human body, which can be experienced by rising above body consciousness with the help of a living master. Question. Is initiation conveyed through an authorized representative of the master valid for all purposes? Master. Yes. The instructions of initiation imparted through an authorized representative of the master are valid for all purposes. The testing criterion is to have a first-hand inner experience of the divine light of God and the audible life stream at the time of initiation. These are the two astral forms of the master power. And if one gets to them by the personal experience of rising above body consciousness, there can be no doubt about its validity and efficacy. Question. The Bible says, "The first shall come last, and the last shall come first." What does this mean? Master. These words are from St. Matthew, chapter 19, verse 30, and also appear in Matthew 20:16, and in the book of Mark 10:31, and in Luke 13:30. They connote that the grace of the God-man, like so many gifts of God, air, light, and water, flows freely and fully to all and sundry, no matter whether one comes to his vineyard early or late. Living in the timeless, the divisions of time as made by us are of no consequence to him, and each one receives whatsoever is right, no matter when he comes, early in the morning, or at the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, or the 11th hour. But all get alike, beginning from the last to the first, as it has been so beautifully described by means of a parable of the kingdom of God in chapter 20 of the Gospel of St. Matthew. For the living master is the best judge to dole out his spiritual riches in the manner he thinks right. Question. Kindly define mind. Master. Mind stuff is made of a highly rarefied matter, or sattva substance in the elements. Gossamer-like, it spreads in the body with its tentacles deeply rooted in the senses, working through the sense organs. Its base also goes far above, rooted as it is in the universal or cosmic mind, the chit akash. It serves as a link between the material body and the conscious spirit or soul in the body, which is enlivening both the mind and the body. Like fire, the mind is a good servant, but a bad master. Question. Where is the seat of the mind? Master. The seat of the mind in the body is in the eye focus, just as that of the soul, but slightly towards the right corner of the left eye, while the seat of the soul is slightly towards the left corner of the right eye. Question. Please tell us something of the help which marriage partners might give one another when both are initiates in the matters of helping maintain balance and attempting to harmonize the physical, mental, and emotional fields of energy of the individuals so as to increase their receptivity towards Shabd. This would be very inspiring for students yet to come, as well as for those already begun. Master. Marriage is a sacrament, and taking a companion for life in weal or woe during this earthly sojourn. It is a rare boon of the Master when both the partners in life happen to be initiates. Both of them should exhibit and inculcate a deep sense of loving cooperation and tolerance for the rights of each other. The physical, mental, and emotional fields of activity should be kept under check and control, lest these degrade the soul in pursuit of carnal satisfaction. To fall in sin is manly, but to remain therein is devilish. The vital sex energy should be rationally transmuted and sublimated by exercising self-restraint and chastity. The procreation of children is one of the legitimate functions of married life. The scriptures prescribe this sacred purpose as and when such a necessity arises. The couple, having such disciplined lives, will have an asset for spiritual progress. Question. Does the intellect play any part in self and God realization? Master. Yes. The intellect plays an important part in understanding the theory of the problem of self-realization. Once the theory is grasped, there is not much left for the intellect to do. Thereafter remains the practice with heart and soul to achieve the goal by a process of self-analysis. For the science of the self is essentially practical. Question. Kindly define nirvana relative to Lord Buddha's teachings. Master. Nirvana is not nihilism or nihilism, as is commonly believed. It is a state of being much superior to that of physical existence. It is exactly opposite to what we know of the physical life, which Lord Buddha, the Enlightened One, characterized as the life of sorrow and misery, the first of the four noble truths that dawned on him. He, according to his lights, founded the Eightfold Path of Righteousness to transform the course of physical life into a totally different pattern. One can well recognize what it could be, not a state of nothingness, but one of efflorescence into light. I'll stop there and just say thank you, Master, for this opportunity to sit together in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you, David, for the wonderful reading. Today we had 80 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.